People have all sorts of ideas about the purpose of prayer. And you can learn a lot about what a person believes about prayer based on how they request prayer. And as a minister, you won't be surprised to hear that I often get requests to pray for people, to pray on behalf of people, and that sort of thing. And I learn a lot about people's different ideas about prayer. For example, sometimes people will say to me something along these lines, you know, Pastor Andrew, would you please pray for so-and-so? Because I bet you've got some connections upstairs and your prayer will get through. You know, as if prayer is a kind of spiritual networking, knowing the right people, making the right connections. Or another example, I think it's perhaps because we live in football country and we're often influenced by the ideas of the great game of football. Others view prayer as a task that's best handled by third-party experts. Sometimes we get requests to add someone to the congregational prayer list, which of course we're happy to do, but sometimes these requests are made by persons who rarely show up on Sundays to pray for said persons, as if perhaps the purpose of prayer is to hand it off to a spiritual quarterback who can deliver it across the line, across the touchdown line. I call that the quarterback model of prayer. On more occasions than I like to count, I've heard still others say, you know, Pastor Andrew, I tried to pray for, you know, fill in the blank, but it didn't work. And so I don't believe in prayer. So people have all sorts of ideas about prayer. And there's a lot of confusion about prayer as well. So I want to talk about what is the purpose of prayer, what is the power of prayer, and then I want to give you a little assignment of prayer. I was once eating a bowl of cereal, and a friend of mine who was sitting there at the table with me quipped. He said, you know, looking at me, you know, eating that cereal, he said, you know, milk is for babies. Now, he was simultaneously mocking me, as my good friends often like to do, but he was also pushing me to think about something that I'd never really thought about before. Milk is for babies. Now, of course, I knew where milk came from. I may be a city kid. I grew up in the city, but my parents sent me to a hippy-dippy summer camp where one of the main activities was milking the barnyard animals. Now, I never graduated past the goat to the cow, but I milked the goat several times. So I know where milk comes from. I know what milk is for. But I had to admit that it never really dawned on me just how strange it is that we continue to drink milk as adults. It's kind of funny. In fact, I think, and I'm not positive, but I think we might be the only species that is physiologically able to drink milk as adults. Now, some of us can't do that, but some of us can as adults. But I think we're one of the few species that can do that. It's a strange thing. Milk is perfectly formulated for babies. But if babies are going to grow into adults, they have to learn how to broaden their culinary horizon. They have to learn to take in other foods besides milk. And the same is true for the spiritual life. Many people have an understanding of prayer that only includes milk. That is, prayers of petitions, prayers that ask God for things. God, please give me a job. God, please heal so-and-so. God, please do this or that. Now, I don't want to imply in any way whatsoever that there's anything wrong with these kinds of prayers, prayers of petition. In fact, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And one of the things that Jesus taught them, he said, pray to your Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us the things we need, please, Lord. So Jesus taught us to take our prayers of request to God. But our broken hearts can take this teaching of Jesus and twist it so that we can begin to view God as a kind of spiritual Coke machine. If we put in the right amount of quarters, if we press the button the right way, maybe bang on the side of the machine a couple of times, then we will get the thing that we want. But God is not a spiritual Coke machine. Now, I, for one, have absolutely no intention of removing milk from my diet. I eat a bowl of cereal on most mornings, so I am all in favor of milk. But I also know that it takes much more than milk to keep this awesome Arnold Schwarzenegger-like physique in top performance. Milk's not going to cut it. Need more than milk.
I need real food. And your soul needs real food. One of the great reformers, a Roman Catholic monk named Martin Luther, whose followers went to found what we know as the Lutheran Church, he had a very interesting definition of sin. And incidentally, you can learn a lot about what a person believes about God based on how they define sin. And one of Martin Luther's definitions of sin was the heart turned inward. Now, the heart turned inward can take different forms. The most obvious form, of course, is selfishness, self-centeredness, you know, the heart turned in on itself. But it can also take the other extreme. It can take the form of self-loathing or self-hatred. Both of these are versions of the heart turned inward, turned in on itself. These are the very definition of brokenness. And it's a brokenness that we all share, a heart turned in on itself. And because we suffer from hearts turned inward, our prayer life can degenerate into simply a list of gimmies. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And if our only understanding of prayer is asking God for things, then what happens, beloved, when God doesn't deliver and we don't get the thing that we want? Well, then we say prayer doesn't work. Now, those are the words, and I do not want to be harsh or insensitive, but those words, prayer doesn't work, those are the words of a person who's only been drinking spiritual milk, someone who needs spiritual food. Prayer has a far deeper and more powerful purpose than simply asking God for things. And the deeper, more powerful purpose of prayer is to learn the heart of God. The kind of prayer that supplies the kind of food that our souls need to become mature Christians is the kind of prayer that seeks to know who God is and what God loves. As Christians mature, they begin to understand that the highest purpose of prayer is not to try to get God to do something for us. It's to have God do what he wants in here. This is the essentially the prayer that Paul gives us here in this letter to Romans that Shari just read for us. And I'm going to sort of read through this again if you want to follow along in your bulletin. That's basically the prayer. Paul is saying, this is what God is like. Let me show you a picture of God's heart, his character, what he loves. Paul said, let love be genuine. The real deal. Hate what is evil, as God does. Hold fast to what is good, as God is. Love one another with brotherly affection, as God has loved you. Outdo one another in showing honor, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are constantly honoring the other. Never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are constantly serving each other. Rejoice in your hope, that is the hope of the cross. Be patient in tribulation, as your Lord Jesus was patient as he bore tribulation for you. Be constant in prayer, as the Lord Jesus Christ constantly intercedes for you, even now. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality, as God is going to welcome you at his table in just a moment and show you hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, as Jesus blessed those who crucified him. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, as God himself came down to be with us. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all, as God lives peaceably with us who make war on him. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what Paul is doing here is he's opening a window for us to say, this is what the heart of God is like. This is what God loves. Paul is saying, now you be like this. But the honest heart that reads this is going to respond, but I can't. I can't be like this. And not only can I not do all these things that Paul describes, but most of the time I don't even want to. I don't want to be kind to that person who annoys me. I don't want to forgive that person who has wronged me. I don't want to love my enemy. And even if part of me wanted to, I don't have it in me to make it happen. And this, beloved, brings us to the power of prayer. See, when people talk about the power of prayer, if the purpose of prayer is to see the heart of God, the power of prayer, people talk about the power of prayer as if it's the power to get what we want. But that's not the true power of prayer. The power of prayer is the power of God to make us more like Him. It's the power to heal our broken hearts so that they aren't so curved in on themselves. And this happens when, in prayer, we seek the heart of God, we seek a vision of His love for us, and seeing these things, our hearts are changed. Now, we've plucked this passage right out of the middle of this letter to Romans, and it seems like Paul is just basically saying, all right, you all be nice, be nice, be nice. That's not what he's saying at all. But Paul has just spent the last bulk of the letter basically making the case that we do not have it in ourselves to do these things. We do not have it in ourselves to save ourselves. Wretched man that I am, Paul wrote, who will save me from the bondage of this death, of this sin? But then Paul shows us the cross. Paul shows us God's love for us, His provision for us, His heart for us. And only in seeing that, only there, can we then begin to seeing God's heart, begin to be changed by it, and begin to look a little bit more like God. This and only this, a vision of God's heart and God's love, this is the only thing that can and will fuel us, empower us to be like God. Beloved, the only way that you're going to be able to suffer that annoying coworker is if in prayer you can see God's heart, how His heart pours out in love for that coworker just as it pours out for you. The only way that you can begin to overcome evil with good is if you can see how the evil in your own heart was overcome by the goodness of the cross, the power of the cross, as a gift of love for you. The only way that you can hold back from seeking vengeance on someone who has wronged you is if you see that in the heart of God, where there is true justice, and that this true justice would rightly condemn you to death, but by the mercy on the cross, you are given life. Only when you see that will you be able to refrain from vengeance, when you see how God refrained from His vengeance on you. That, my friends, that is the true, deep purpose of prayer, to be changed into the likeness of God by being exposed to the heart of God, to the love of God. So, beloved, there is nothing wrong at all with asking God for the things that you want and need. Nothing wrong at all. But as God's children, we need more than milk to become spiritually mature. We need prayer, true prayer, mature prayer, prayer that puts us in a place to see God's heart and be changed by it. So this brings us to your assignment. The purpose of prayer, the power of prayer, your little assignment of prayer. The next time you feel moved to ask God for something, which you should do, and your Lord told you to do, But the next time you feel moved to ask God, to request something from him, I want to encourage you to add to that prayer an additional mature prayer. Pray that God would show you his heart and make you more like him. Pray that God would help you to love those that you find difficult to love. Pray that God would make you more forgiving, more hopeful, more generous, more patient, more hospitable. And beloved, if you are at an end for words, you can't think of how to pray, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than to pray this little prayer into your life, to pray this passage from Romans. Or to give another, just a practical example, you could pray the words of that hymn that Dr. Carswell just selected for us. It was a hymn based on the prayer of St. Francis that you can find, and you may not have a hymnal at home, but many of you have a prayer book at home, and you can find that in your prayer book. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Beloved, give your soul the spiritual food that it craves. The kind of prayer that seeks the heart of God, so that you might be healed and transformed and given a heart that is turned outward, just as his heart is turned outward to you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, please bring us to a higher, deeper form of prayer. Draw us into your throne room in mature prayer so that we might see your heart and your love, that we might see your ways and your wisdom, and seeing these things, be changed by them and healed by them, to become a people who love more like you love. For we ask this in your precious name. Amen.